Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby the face of God? Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am?
And we can continue to rejoice in that wonderful Christ. Praise God. Let us turn this morning to the third chapter of Philippians. Philippians 3. And let us begin with verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These next few messages, I want to concentrate on the subject of the high calling, as we read here in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We will see that this high calling is much more than just going to heaven after we leave this earth. But over these next few weeks, I want to explore this verse and to find out what is included in that high calling. We will begin with the word high. It literally means on the top. It means brim. It means high up and above. It is also associated with a word that means opposite or instead. Because of, in the room of, it denotes contrast or substitution. And when we put those meanings together of those words, we understand that high in the text here signifies that which is above rather than that which is below. It is associated with heaven rather than the earth. For example, Jesus said it this way in John 8:23, "You are from beneath," that is talking to the Pharisees, "I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world." In John 17:14, he includes us in this matter. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." I also want to notice that the word high is used numerous times in the Old Testament. A great number of references, but just a couple that go along with the subject that we're talking about today. Psalm 113:5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high?" That is, that high place is actually his dwelling place associated with him. And then the one that I have so much loved over the years and spoken on a number of times, Isaiah 6:1, where Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple," a reference, of course, to the time that Jesus will be enthroned in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We notice here in our text here in Philippians, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." The high calling, this upward calling, as it's stated literally at times, this upward calling associated, of course, with God. And, of course, it is a high or a heavenly calling. It is also in Christ Jesus. This call is directly from God. Let us understand, from above, from God, heavenly, all of these things describe the high calling that we are talking about here. Let's turn to the third chapter of Hebrews for a little bit more instruction in regard to this high calling, because here it is called the heavenly calling. And I also want to emphasize that we are simply looking at different parts of the high calling. There are just a number of things that we're going to see that are associated with the high calling. And to repeat, when you talk about the high calling, it's just not just a matter of going to heaven. I want to emphasize that this high calling is for today, things that we must appropriate and claim for ourselves at this present time. And so here in the third chapter of Hebrews, you will notice, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Again, the heavenly calling being a part or associated with the high calling, the overall high calling of which we speak. Let us understand here that Paul, and of course some people not convinced that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but he never signs his name to it. There's reason for that. But at any rate, we are confident that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He was writing to his brethren. You will notice that he called them holy brethren. These are Jews which had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were having a very hard time letting go of the law, as we will see here in just a moment. And so he calls them holy. He calls them brethren. He calls them partakers of the heavenly calling. And this is the first point we want to realize here, is that they were just partakers. People partake of this calling to varying degrees. They had accepted Jesus. That holy thing had been implanted within their hearts, as he is in every believer. But they had not laid hold of the fullness that Paul was talking about. He wanted them to embrace all of the high calling, so to speak. And so he's exhorting them to do that. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. They were involved with Moses, as we will see here just in a moment. They had not really taken hold of Christ. But you will notice here that he refers to the apostle and high priest of our profession, or of our confession. They had confessed Christ to a great degree, as we have noted. But let us notice here that there was something standing in the way. He mentions Moses, verse 2, who was faithful to him that called him, that is, Jesus was, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. But this man, Christ Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This is where that he wants to point out, Moses wasn't the house. Moses was only a part of the house. And so we come to this wonderful place here where that he speaks of those things as in verse 5, as a servant, as a testimony of those things. I want to see in this chapter two things that are directly connected with the heavenly calling. And because they were involved with Moses and would not let go of the law, they were being robbed of the glorious heavenly blessings, or the heavenly calling that they could have had at this time. Back up to verse 1. Because this is the first thing we see in association with that heavenly calling. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest. This is where that Christ must take precedent. Now, the Jews were very familiar with high priests. They had many of them down through the years. But this is what Paul is trying to get at. All of those things under the old covenant, they really pointed to Christ. And so the high priests that they had were only a figure of him. Now, he points out in this book and other places how that those high priests were just permitted to serve until they died. This is where it made a difference with Christ. He never dies. He is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Claiming Christ as our high priest is so very important for the individual life today. Because you see, that high priest is the only intercessor that God recognizes. He is the intercessor that has been appointed and taken that place for us. We'll not turn there. But in Hebrews 4, we read this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Again, he is associating Jesus with a part of this heavenly calling, the part of this high calling of which we speak. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is what Paul wants us to understand when he says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. We must avail ourselves of all that is in him. He not only gave his life and forgave our sins and took them away, there is this continued ministry that he has to us today in order to bring forth this glorious ministry of being a mediator between us and God and for anything that we might have. And this is the beauty of it. This is what we are to accept, to embrace Jesus as the only intercessor, rather than going to men, rather than going to things, rather than trusting our own efforts, rather than trusting our own ingenuity. We are, as a part of these heavenly blessings, this heavenly call that God has given, we are exhorted simply to go to Jesus as the intercessor. The latter part of that, a very familiar verse that we have seen so many times over the years, and let us therefore, because Jesus is the mediator, because he's the one who has come down as a man in order to understand everything and anything we will ever go through. We have seen over and over, there is not a pain, there is not a frustration, there is not a difficulty, there is not an obstacle, there is nothing in our lives that we will ever go through that Jesus has not already experienced insofar as the pain of it and all of these various things. And so because of that, let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not on our own merit or anything of this nature. It is all according to his mercy, according to his glorious grace. And so consider him. This is the first part of this heavenly calling that we're talking about in this chapter alone, where we read, we are to consider, we are to claim, and to avail ourselves of this glorious blessing of Jesus as the high priest in order to claim such a heavenly calling. Skip down to verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Give credit where credit is due. Moses, God highly commends this man over and over again back in the Old Testament. But Paul points out, he indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. And here was Moses' purpose, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Those things which were to be spoken after is all of these blessings which we have in Christ Jesus. Again, I repeat, Moses was only a part of the house. He was not the whole house. They were trying to make him that. He was just a part of it, and Paul wanted to know, noted these people to know who were under the law and still trying to trust in the tenets of the law. You must leave that in order to discover the fullness of this calling, this heavenly calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, if you go through the Old Testament, and I've enjoyed all those years teaching synthesis and going through these offerings, and some people seem to get a little bit bogged down with them and confused and thinking there's no purpose. Those things speak of the glorious redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And all of the things, these heavenly blessings and treasures that have been provided for us in Christ, they are there in type in the Old Testament. But Paul is wanting them to come away from the types and the shadows. And he says, you must see the realities that are in Christ Jesus. And so I want to go to the first chapter of Ephesians, where Paul brings out exactly this same pattern when he wrote to this very choice, this very elite church. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or in the heavenlies in Christ. You see, the same thing is true, as we found there in Hebrews, that this is a heavenly calling. It all centers around Christ. It is a call from God, as we've already seen in these opening statements. And so now then we read that blessed be, or praise be unto God and the Father, who hath blessed. This is the point to understand. The blessings have already been poured out. The only thing lacking is for us to answer the call. We must enter in and answer that call to heavenly blessing, or heavenly promises that God has given unto us. You will notice he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We know that God has blessed us with natural blessings. We have our natural food to eat. We have our transportation. We have our homes. We have so many things that God, with which God has blessed us. But what is a spiritual blessing? This is the key for us to understand. If we are going to abide in the heavenly calling, if we are going to answer, be partaker of the heavenly calling, we must understand what spiritual blessings actually are. Now, simply stated, Paul names them and he verifies them and he defines them throughout the rest of this entire book. We're not going to go through this the whole book in one message, but I do want to point out some things that we see, beautiful things that we see. I think about five of them here just in this first chapter, which can be classed, which are classed, must be identified and designated as spiritual blessings. And so if you notice here, let us begin in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. This is a spiritual blessing because we are chosen as a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to try and put a myth to rest here. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There is a teaching going around that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. There were some people that were chosen to live, and there were some people that were chosen to die. And that is an absolute myth and contrary to the scripture. Peter said it this way: God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. So what's he talking about, that you were chosen before the foundation of the world? He is talking about the new creation of which Jesus is the head. God had ordained that creation before the world ever fell. God's never taken by surprise. He was not wringing his hands and wondering, what am I going to do now that man fell? He already had the plan in mind. And it was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we were chosen in Christ as a new creation. And we indeed claim that glorious place that God has given to us. Notice another one here. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. There is only one way to be holy, and that is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was told that holy thing that will be in you, talking about Jesus implanted in her womb. This is exactly the same thing that God does with every believer. The moment we believe, that holy thing is implanted in our hearts. And God counts us holy. Go back to the book of Hebrews. How did Paul address them? Holy brethren. They were holy because they had been born again. Paul addresses so many of his letters to the saints, which be in Rome, Corinth, or whatever. You know what saint means? Holy One. This is what we must understand. This is the great blessing. This is the great calling that we have. We are holy by birth, and it can never be taken away from us. But there is more. Notice the next one. Holy and without blame. There are those who would argue against the, oh no, you can never get to that place. But Scripture speaks more than once of being blameless. Here we are without blame. This refers to our conduct. And God can, through this new holy life, make us absolutely blameless in our active walk in the Lord. I say it is important for us to understand and claim that, because that's the only way it'll ever come to pass. Understand the reason why we be blameless. It's because of that holy life. We have said it this way. Every believer is possessed of two natures. The new nature, the nature of Christ. The old nature, the nature of Adam. The one that controls the body is the one that determines our walk. God intends that the life of Christ should control my life every hour of every day. And I guarantee you on the authority of God's word that if Christ is in control of this human body, it will be blameless. That is a spiritual blessing that we are to claim, that we are to partake of, that we must insist on in our own lives. And so without blame, most assured, not simply a possibility, it's a must in our lives, and God can indeed make it true and make it real. Notice further spiritual blessings that we have here, these verses. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Don't be fooled by the little word adoption here. This phrase would read the placement of sons. And you will notice that the little word children is used here. He has placed us as children or as sons of God. Now, he has done that of his own will. Doesn't depend on what we've done or anything. We have been placed as sons of God. And I want to enlarge a little bit on the fact that we are sons of God, because when we do, when we speak of sonship, we speak of maturity. Now, we are as saved as we will ever be from the moment we become a child or an infant of God. We've established that many, many times. Scripture does. But placing as sons shows a maturity. It shows a growth in Christ. And this is why it is imperative to answer the call. Abide by the call, this calling, as we find, partakers of the heavenly calling. And indeed, as Paul says, pressing toward the prize of the high calling. Placed as sons. This high calling, particular part of the high calling, is in regard to reward. We'll not turn there, but you remember the verse, Romans 8:17. Says this, if children. Now that word is technon. It is not sons, but this is why it's so important. Because the moment that a person accepts Christ, he is a potential heir. How much of that inheritance he gets depends on him, but he, the moment he believes by his birth, he is entitled to this great inheritance But Romans 8 brings out a very strict difference here. If children, then heirs. And again, I repeat, everyone born into the family of God, everyone who has received Christ as Savior, is entitled to an inheritance. They are heirs. Heirs of God. But here's the distinction. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is where we must understand when we are talking about the high calling or the heavenly calling. It includes a call to suffering. We have to decide whether we are willing to suffer, because the price of the throne is suffering. Jesus set it forth. Now, this doesn't mean going out and suffering because of acts of the flesh, suffering because of stupidity, ignorance, unbelief. God can use those things, but the suffering we are talking about is the suffering that God has called us to. And there are any manner of ways that God may choose to call us to suffer. Not just going out and suffering at the hands of ungodly men when you try to preach the gospel. It means suffering at the hand of Satan, just as it was in the case of Job. Suffering because God has made the decision that you are to suffer some certain thing. It is God's business. It tells us again of the tremendous and the significant trust that we must have in God. But let us understand, just for the sake of the record here, that if we are determined to pursue the high calling or the heavenly calling, as we saw there in Hebrews, that calling will well include a call to suffering. And we must abide and answer that call also. Notice the fifth one that we see here. This is the fifth spiritual blessing we are considering just in this chapter. And notice what it is. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This is a glorious spiritual blessing that we must understand and claim for our own. We are not accepted for our good looks, or for our good works, or for our good intentions, or for our great merit, or for any of our humanitarian endeavors. We are accepted for only one reason, because I'm in Christ. That's what we must understand, and this is that great spiritual blessing that we have this very select place, and it is a select place in Christ Jesus. And thus, we are well on our way to pursuing all of these wonderful things that we will see concerning the high calling. We're going to consider more in subsequent messages, but we will never truly want to leave you with this thought. We will never truly be actual partakers of the heavenly calling unless we answer the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must accept and realize not only what we are, but who we are in Christ Jesus. And he will give us that place as we pursue the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.